Okay, I'm going to chat now with Niamh Murray. Niamh, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much, Declan.
Niamh, we're going to have a chat about the Markovitch School, or Countess Markovitch School, I should say.
Absolutely.
Which is 10 years old, I believe.
It is. So it's 10 years old this year, which is kind of one of those times when you think, God, it's hard to believe, where did all of that time go? So I suppose myself and Lucy Keaveney were the two co-founders, along with actually two other people who've since moved on. And I suppose we wanted to kind of create a space for women and issues for women. And we also wanted to do something to mark the legacy of Constance Markovitch, who I suppose is a really infamous and well-known historical figure in Ireland, but I suppose sometimes we would have felt, and I suppose I still feel myself, that her legacy isn't, it's not really remembered maybe as well as it could be or it should be. So I suppose nearly every year we'd have a historical section in the at the Markovitch School, so that there's some aspect of, say, her life discussed. And obviously over the last 10 years we've been, and we still are, in the decade of commemoration. Yeah. So we tried to kind of link it in. So obviously 1919, there was a talk around, you know, women getting the right to vote. 1916 was linked to the Rising. In 1913, we did, we featured kind of the soup kitchens. Markovitch had been involved. So we tried to link in what she had been doing 100 years ago.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the lady herself. Constance, she was a formidable lady, I think would be a one description.
She was formidable. And I suppose, you know, God, where would you start? There's so much to say. But I suppose in one sense, if I kind of would describe it as, she's a very three-dimensional figure, okay, who has been kind of treated in a two-dimensional manner, okay?
Right.
And I suppose in a way, you know, and this is kind of an overview of maybe her whole lifetime, her whole legacy, she's always been a kind of an outsider. She was always an other, okay? So I suppose, you know, even within the different groups, there was always kind of a little bit of, you know, suspicion of her. So I suppose people at the time, you know, it took them a while to kind of embrace her, you know, as a main figure. And then I suppose once they did, they really realised kind of who she was. And I suppose if you look back at that time, there was three main struggles around that time. You know, we're talking around kind of 1908 to 1918-ish, okay? You're looking at the nationalist struggle, you were looking at the struggle for suffrage, for women's rights, and you were looking at labour rights suffrage, or labour rights, the struggle for labour rights. And she was involved in all three campaigns, and some people were critical of that because they thought, well, she's kind of into everything just for populism. But I think it's a little bit more nuanced, and it's a little bit more, there's a little bit more to it than that. A lot of people overlapped because there were people within the nationalist kind of community, within the nationalist groups, who, you know, wanted women's rights just as much, rights to vote, I mean, that was the big issue at the time. And within the suffrage, you know, the women had kind of nearly kind of discussions slash arguments themselves. Some of them said, no, 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 let's support the nationalist movement because, sure, of course women will get the right to vote when we have a new, you know, Irish independent yeah. Ireland. So I suppose there was a lot of, what's the word, it was, things were quite, I wouldn't say disjointed, but there was a lot going on at the time. And I think as a figure, she got criticised for
just being involved in so much.
Yeah. But I think it was probably a testament to her character. You know, right. She was full of life, she was full of passion, she was effervescent, you know, and she just wanted the best. And I suppose maybe what's not known about her life, and it's kind of sad in the sense that, you know, she grew up in such privilege. She, you know, she grew up, you know, she toured around Europe.
She was born in England, which is I don't know. I didn't realise that until I started looking things up today to talk to you about it. Yeah.
And then they moved back to Lissadel. So her early life was privileged, living on this Anglo-Irish landed estate. Beautiful estate. If you've never been up there, even it's worth going up for a visit. Yeah. It's stunning. It looks out over the Atlantic.
But, and how did she end up so, you know, involved in the Irish struggle, if you like?
Yeah, I suppose she was always kind of a rebel, and right. she wanted to go to art college. The parents weren't happy. You know, they wanted her to get married off, go to the ball, you know, marry someone.
Do what was expected, I suppose.
She went to art college, and I suppose just to fast track it, she went to Paris, and that's where she met Kazimir Markovitch. She was in that bohemian world, and I suppose that inspired her. And then when she came back, they moved back to Ireland, they got involved in the arts, right? And particularly the theatre, Irish theatre around 1908, 1910, things got quite political, and obviously everybody knows some of the playwrights were writing nationalist plays. So it was through really the people she met in the theatre, then she got involved in kind of politics, and that's how, where it kind of came about. And I suppose it was Maud Gonne set up an organisation called Éin Éin Héireann, Daughters of Ireland, and that was the first political meeting that she joined. She also joined Sinn Féin. Arthur Griffith didn't want her in Sinn Féin because she was from the Anglo-Irish ascendancy class. So I suppose her political, it was how her life trajectory kind of went from one thing into another, and it kind of links into her character. As a character, she was that kind of passionate, effervescent, wanted more, wanted another challenge, so it kind of all suited.
What age was she when she died?
She was 56.
Yeah, she was quite young.
She was very young.
Yeah.
And I suppose what I started to say there, and I went off on a tangent, as I'm prone to do, but her life ended. She was very dejected. She was very down.
Right.
She was in poverty by the end. She lost, like, the two most influential people in her life were her sister, Eva Gore Booth, who was a suffragist in Manchester, and who was a pacifist, and, you know, who was an amazing character, and James Connolly. James Connolly was her mentor. So he was obviously killed in the Rising. And, you know, when she lost the two of them, really, she got quite dejected. She was living in poverty by the end of her life. And I suppose she, like most of the women after the Rising, most of the women, when the treaty debate split the country, most of the women were on the Republican side. They wanted an independent Ireland, because so many of them had husbands, brothers killed in the Rising, so they couldn't agree. So I suppose a lot of the women became Republican women, and then they became ostracised by the Free State when the Free State took over in 1922.
So, I mean, she had a wide, as you say, an interesting and varied life, and it was obviously as well the first person, or first lady to, first ever female elected in Ireland or Britain as well, which is a great claim to fame.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's great that then you carry on her memory through the school every year.
Yeah, well, we do our best. We do our best, and, you know, and I suppose we try to do, you know, the lesser known aspects of, and I suppose I know I've been asked to just say, you know, to speak at it at the school next month, so I'm going to focus on kind of maybe the Civil War and the Free State, that aspect of her life, which will cover the next, say, few years of of celebrations, because I suppose everybody knows the Rising is really what she's most associated with, and also 1913, the lockout. So people may not be familiar with what happened to her during the Civil War and the Free State years.
Brilliant. Yeah, well, look, it's a very busy day that's planned. I have all the detail. I'm sure we'll come back to that on the RFM over the coming weeks. It's on Saturday, April the 4th, 2020, in Liberty Hall. Mm-hmm. Can people book to go along, or where do they get that information?
One of the things, I suppose, when the school was set up, we wanted to make sure that it was accessible to everyone, so there is no charge.
Great.
We just hand around a donation box. But you just need to book. So if you go onto the website, www.countessmarkievichschool.ie, you know, you can book. It's free booking, just so that the committee would know what numbers to be expected, so they can organise a sandwich or two.
Great. Thanks, Niamh. Niamh Murray from the Countess Markievicz School. And that, as I said, is on the 4th of April 2020 in Liberty Hall. Thanks a million for coming to see us.
Thank you.
Not at all. You're very welcome.